This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hello, my name's Ben. I'm a student minister here. And welcome if you're listening on the radio. Well, how do you seek God? And what is the result of your search? Do you know God? Do you get rid of God? Do you only know about God, but fail to know him? Do you know what God demands, but not know who God is? See, people all over Sydney are seeking God. Some are seeking to know him, others to obey him, others to get rid of him, others to become God of their world. And people seek God by different methods. Some turn to a sacred text passed down uncorrupted from the heavens and there read what God is like and what God demands. Others are seeking God through enlightenment, through ignorance. Others attempt to become God of their own world through security and wealth. Some pursue God through rituals like prayer or songs or through idols or priests. In John chapter 8, from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, there's an argument about who Jesus is and ultimately about who truly knows God. See, Jesus claims that God the Father affirms who he is. And so those arguing with Jesus demand to see his Father. And this is a reasonable request. It would establish Jesus' identity. And we often speak like this. We use family relationships to establish who someone is. Just this past week, I said to my wife, so-and-so is the husband of so-and-so. If you were seeking to explain to someone who Sophie, my daughter, is, you may say that I am her father. And in Jesus' day, family relationships established the credibility and the honour due to a person. Now, of course, Mary and Joseph raised Jesus. They were his human parents, but Joseph disappears from Jesus' life early on, presumably because he died. So when Jesus speaks of his Father, he's referring to God the Father, just as Jesus is God the Son. So in answer to their question about where his Father is, in verse 19 of John chapter 8, Jesus replies, "If you knew me, you would know my Father." So Jesus claims such an intimate relationship with his Father that knowing Jesus is knowing the Father. Knowing Jesus is knowing the Father himself. And they're confused. Maybe you're confused too. And later in the chapter, Jesus emphasizes the importance of this. Verses 41 to 44, Jesus says, "Because they do not know him, they are actually children of the devil, and they do not know the Father. Because they do not know Jesus, they do not know God, and they are children of the devil." So it's really important how we seek God. Jesus has already told them that if they do not believe he is who he says he is, then they will die in their sins. So friends, if we think we know God, but we do not know Jesus, then we're mistaken. We must seek God through Jesus, who is God himself. We must seek God through Jesus, or we will die in our sins. And friends, you are seeking God because you're here on Sunday at church, or you're listening to this radio station. So today we're going to discuss some things that you can know about God. Some things you can know if you seek God through Jesus. Well, as Jesus spoke, they didn't understand. And so Jesus responds. Please follow along in verse 27. Jesus responds to their misunderstanding. John 8, verse 27. "They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him." We're going to spend the rest of our time looking at these verses, verses 28 and 29, together. So notice what Jesus says. Although they didn't understand, there's a time coming when they will understand. Verse 28, Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know." So this lifting up of the Son of Man is very important. So first, who is this Son of Man? So Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man. And you can meet the Son of Man in Daniel chapter 7. And there we find out that the Son of Man approaches God. And he's given all authority and power and an eternal kingdom. So in short, the Son of Man is the all-powerful ruler of the universe. And people from every nation will worship him. And Jesus calls himself this all-powerful ruler. Friends, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the universe. He has all authority. It is right to give him our honor and our praise. So Jesus is the Son of Man. And second, what is this lifting up that's going to happen to Jesus? Well, it's the lifting up of Jesus on the cross at his crucifixion. And it's the lifting up of Jesus out of the grave at his resurrection. And it's the lifting up of Jesus from earth back into heaven at his ascension. See, the words lifting up don't just mean a physical lifting up. They also mean an exaltation, a giving of glory and praise. And we can see that from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, we read, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." So this servant is the suffering servant that you may know from Isaiah 53. This servant is the one who is killed for the sins of the people. This servant suffers, but it's a glorious suffering. It's a highly exalted suffering. And Jesus is this servant. So as Jesus is lifted up in death at his crucifixion, it is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of glory and exaltation. The death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus are the ultimate display of God's glory. This is the center of the Christian faith. The center of God's glory, and it's on display for us. And in these historical events, two things happen: redemption and revelation. So at the lifting up of the Son of Man, two things happen: redemption and revelation. First, redemption. At the cross, with the empty tomb, as the Son of Man is lifted up, redemption from sin and death occurs. Who knows John 3:16? Can you shout it out? "So loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's right. Who knows John 3:14 and 15? Probably not. They're the verses immediately before, and they tell us what we believe about Jesus to have this eternal life. John 3:14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert." And you may know that the Israelites had rebelled against God in the desert, and Moses made a bronze snake on a pole, and he lifted it up. And when people looked at it and they trusted in God's forgiveness, they were forgiven. So John 3:14 says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus lifting up on the cross and in his resurrection is redemptive. It brings freedom from sins and death as God forgives, but only to those who believe. To those who don't believe, they will die in their sins. So the lifting up of the Son of Man brings redemption for those who believe, but it also brings revelation. It's where we go to know God intimately. It's how God reveals himself to us. So returning to John 8:28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know. Friends, we can seek God all we want by all sorts of methods. But if we want to know God, we must come to this point, to the lifting up of the Son of Man. And there are three things that Jesus says we can know at his lifting up. The first is that Jesus is the Son of Man. So verse 28, Jesus says, "You will know that I am the one I claim to be." That is, you'll know that I'm the Son of Man, that I am the all-powerful ruler who deserves your worship and your praise. I am the man who enters into God's presence to rule forever. But remember that Jesus is also the suffering servant who's lifted up. The suffering servant is the ruling Son of Man. He's lifted up in death and resurrection and ascension to rule at God's right hand. Friends, this is the glory of the cross. We need to come here to know God. The servant, Jesus, the servant is the one to whom the Father gives all authority. See, being a servant is praiseworthy. Suffering in obedience to the Father is praiseworthy. Some other religions cannot accept that God would come to earth and suffer as a person. Christianity says, yes, God did it, and he did it for you, and it's glorious, and it's wonderful, and it's beyond words, and that's why we sing, Christians, because a sermon can't express this glory. And friends, this is the heart of our God, that suffering for the sake of others is praiseworthy. Just as Jesus suffered for us, so we too suffer for the sake of others. We don't suffer just for the sake of suffering, but we suffer as Christians for the sake of others because we know the glorious suffering God who suffered for our sake. Now, our suffering doesn't bring redemption, but our suffering demonstrates that the Father has shown us who the ruler of his kingdom is. And this ruler is a glorious suffering servant. The second thing we know is that Jesus does exactly as the Father desires. So verse 28, you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. So if you have children or you're a teacher, you'll know that children resemble their parents more than parents like to admit. So my daughter Sophie is stubborn and argumentative, and she's a pleasure and a pain to parent because of that. But deep down I know she's actually much like me. But thankfully there are many ways that Sophie's not like me, and it's no surprise that she doesn't always do what I teach her to do. But Jesus is the Son of the Father, and he only ever does exactly what the Father teaches. He's this perfect family likeness. In those days, if a master sent a messenger, then the messenger carried the full authority of the master. And Jesus is not just the Son of the Father, but he is the messenger with the full authority of the Father. He truly speaks the Father's words and truly does the Father's actions. Everything that the Son does are fully authorized by the Father, and they're in accordance with the Father's wishes. So, do you want to know God? Well, look at Jesus Christ and all he has done and all he has spoken, especially at his lifting up in death and resurrection and ascension. See, Christians, here, our God is revealed to us in this person of Jesus, gloriously dying, gloriously rising and ruling. Just as we see Jesus give life, so we know the Father is the life giver. Just as we see Jesus' authority to judge, so we know Jesus is, so we know that the Father is the judge. So on Judgment Day, those who do not believe in Jesus will be judged guilty. And Jesus says they will die in their sins. And those who do believe Jesus will be given life through Jesus. In Jesus, the Father shows us exactly what he is like so that we can truly know him. So the third thing that we know is that Jesus is not left alone by the Father. Jesus says, "You will know that I'm the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." So needless to say, my two daughters do not always do what pleases me, but the Son always does what pleases his Father. So Zechariah, my son, he doesn't always do what pleases me either. But Jesus, the Son, always does what pleases the Father. And we can know this by, as we look at his lifting up. The redemption of God's people is pleasing to him. But Jesus doesn't act independently. The one who sent him, the Father, is with him. Jesus is not left alone. It's not as though the Father sent the Son to redeem the world and the Son obeys perfectly but reluctantly. Rather, the Son is sent to redeem the world and is accompanied by the Spirit of the Father, so that he's never alone. He's always empowered by the Father, acting in perfect obedience, not reluctantly, but with the active involvement of the Father. See, there's no disagreement between the Father and the Son. There's no disharmony between them. If there was, then knowing the Son would not mean that we know the Father. Notice also that as the Son gives his life for the glory of the Father, so it is the Father who is actively involved in glorifying the Son as he is lifted up. See, this is our God giving the glory to another. The Son glorifying the Father glorifying the Son. This is the reason that Christians love one another. Because our God is other person-centered, together glorifying the other person. So Jesus has responded to their failure to understand what he's talking about. "There is a time coming when they will know," he says. "When they lift up the Son of Man, then they will know." So what sort of knowing is this? These people are the very ones who have Jesus arrested and have him executed. They're the ones who lift him up. Does this mean that as they lift him up, they know, they believe, and they are redeemed? Does this mean they're forgiven? Sadly, for many of them, I think it does not. They know, but they refuse to know. They hear, but they do not hear. They see, but they do not see. They know about Jesus, that he's the ruler of the universe, but they refuse to let him be their ruler. They know that by knowing Jesus, they could know the Father, but they refuse to know Jesus. But for others listening, I think they do come to this true knowledge. As they see him lifted up, they know him as their ruler. They know him intimately so they can know the Father. They believed in this redemptive lifting up and so had their sins forgiven. This is the remarkable thing about our God, isn't it? This is truly remarkable. Even those who crucified the Father's Son can be forgiven. The suffering servant lowers himself so far as to redeem those who killed him. Anyone who believes in him. The heart of our God is so inclusive that all can be saved if only they believe in the lifted up Son of Man. And so, for you, do you know that Jesus is the way of redemption? Or do you know Jesus as your Redeemer? Do you know about the Father because you know about Jesus? Or do you know the Father because you know the Son? Today, if you realize that you do not know God, please don't leave the building without speaking to me. And I'll point you to the lifted up Son of Man, where you can know God, where your sins can be forgiven. Today, if you realize you do know God, then I pray that you've come to rejoice more fully in the heart of God and the center of what Christianity is about, the lifting up, the glorious suffering of the Son of Man, the perfect accord of the Son with the Father, the selfless self-giving of our God. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you that we can know you. Thank you for the glorious suffering of the Son of Man. Thank you for your selfless self-giving that you would redeem all who trust in you. Please help us to know you more intimately, more deeply, for the sake of the nations, that they all may bow in worship to this lifted up Son of Man, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.